B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
No, they call me.
What are they calling you? Video guy Buck? No, I know who you are. You're Buck Machete. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. And I'm so glad that we're hanging out talking today because it's funny. You were one of those people. Your child is a little bit older than my daughter. Your son.
Yeah.
How many years?
Yeah, he's 3 and a half.
He's 3 and a half.
4 in April, so pretty much 4.
You were one of the first people to give me authentic confidence about my sleeping arrangements, my messed up sleeping arrangements at our home. Because the way that you explained to me your choice to have your son in bed with you and your wife, it was just remarkable. I was like, that was so perfectly put, Buck.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted him in there.
That's what happened with Doug and I. I remember when I was pregnant, we would lie there in bed and, you know, rub my belly. And he's like, where's our baby going to sleep? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll have a pack and plane here. He's like, no, let's have her right here, right here. Yep. And maybe he's regretting that now at this point, but.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, our house, our master bedroom is on one side of the house and all the other bedrooms are on the other side. And so I was like,
our microphones in here just will fall down this sentence.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix it right now.
If you could talk and think about what you're saying and then also do some engineering and tighten the mics up around here. Okay, there we go.
Okay. Much better now. So basically his bedroom is on the other side of the house. And I was like, man, this is like the most precious thing we've created. We love him so much. How am I going to put him all the way on the other side of the house and go to sleep? Like, I love my wife. Mm-hmm. So we sleep in the bed together, but I also love my son. So why is he way over there?
I love it. That made me feel so much better because not only for you just have these crazy thoughts in your head, you know, you can't protect them when they're X amount of feet further away from you than if they're right there in bed. You can't monitor them.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it so difficult. And sure, it does create some, all right, good night, everybody. Good night. But the funny thing is, some people would say to me, so Roxanne, how do you have sex? And then I think to myself, well, A, that's none of your business. And B, you know, depending upon how close they are to me.
Yeah.
And B, who's to say everybody just does that in the middle of the night or before they, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, why are those times rationalized to just between the times when you go to bed at night and wake up in the morning?
Yeah, I agree exactly. Like, there's no written down time when any of this has to happen. And actually, it's probably better, in my opinion, for a relationship to be spontaneous. Without getting too personal,
I told you, I promised you before you came out, I'm like, don't worry, we won't get too personal. We're only going to talk about, you know, kids in your bed and, you know, our next topic we'll get to in a second.
And
how you know
go.
When your spouse is in the mood.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, I mean, I just love having him in there. I found out through my wife's mom that she slept with her mom and dad till she was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, 5. Like, my son will be 4. But I have to say, it's been almost a year and he has been out of the bed.
Oh, he's been out now?
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of. He comes in every night. So we do wake up with him every morning. But sometimes it'll be midnight. Sometimes it'll be 4 a.m., 5 a.m., even 6 a.m.
He just strolls there, finds his way from the other side of the house.
Yep. Little set of stairs. Mm-hmm. He brings his blankie, jumps right in.
I've even thought to myself that now as a parent, when I think about maybe buying a new home, I think I'm definitely going to design a home where my child's room is close to mine. Like, why would you even have it any other way?
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's really messed up. And I have weird things going through my head. Like all the, you know, you watch the news at night and you see a random car that went through a business or something. And I'm like, I've had those weird thoughts too. Do I live somewhere where a car could go through his window? Like, that's so dark. But I think it. I'm like, get over here.
I'm so glad you just confessed to that because I do the same thing. And see, this is where I'm like, Roxanne, you're lacking creativity at work. What else can you do? Come on, mix it up. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. My creativity is going to dreaming up crazy scenarios of things that could possibly happen to my daughter. So it's the anticipation. Yeah. It's the preventative measure of a parent to really, you know, make sure you think about every possible angle.
It
make
is.
Sure they're taken care of.
We still use the baby monitor to this day.
Why not?
And it's like I have a friend who's just having a baby now, and I gave him a list of my top five things that's a must have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of them was the baby monitor. You
yes.
have to. And look,
yes.
almost 4 years later, I'm still using it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That is a must have. Okay, have you ever gotten seriously injured by your son while sleeping? Because we do. That is one of the issues that we have.
Yeah.
Like a kick in the face in the middle of the night. I got that 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
And I screamed. I'm like, ah, Doug, our daughter just, I mean, right in my brow bone and eye socket. And I have like bulging eyes. So it hit my eye directly.
Definitely. I don't know if serious. I don't know. I've woken up to big jumps on me, kicks to the face, kicks to the groin,
mm-hmm.
Jumping on my stomach, everything you can think of, dropping toys, like mm-hmm. these little metal cars. He'll be standing up and he'll just put his arm out over me and let it drop on my face. So in the middle of the night, I'm getting a clunk on my forehead. One time I thought I almost lost a tooth.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Yeah. And that's all the reason why I said to my wife, he's got to go. I love him.
For safety purposes.
For safety. He gets to a certain size. I'm like, you know what? This isn't going to work.
And so it's nice because you have that nostalgia of having him having bed in your room, in your bed for X amount of time. And he grows out of it.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to happen when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
He's not going to be
exactly.
there anymore. So just enjoy it.
Exactly. Enjoy it. And just natural progression. I think he just got big enough. He started getting more independent. And
mm-hmm.
now he loves his room.
Mm-hmm. And I can feel that already with my daughter. Her latest thing is if she wants to do something bad, you don't have the sassiness that mothers of daughters do and parents of daughters quite yet, I'm sure.
Okay.
But
yeah.
she will look at me and just say, bye-bye, mama. If she's going to do something she's not allowed to do that I've told her, no, you're not allowed to. She's just going to ask me to leave the room. Bye-bye, mama. You don't want to see this.
Yeah. They think they're slick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're over there, I'll go over here. You can't see me.
If you don't see it, how can I get in trouble?
It's like, guess what? I'm smarter than you.
Yeah,
you think you can outsmart me?
I know. I think you're right. My daughter seriously thinks I'm smarter than her. Okay. So what about, do you ever personally worry that younger generations, I know you are really young, and but
hey,
spending,
we're like the same age.
Okay,
almost,
okay,
so.
Whatever. Sounds good to me. We have kids who are the same age, so sure. So kids are spending, I should say younger generation, spending more and more of their time communicating via text message. So you worry about what you might lose. And what you might lose is the ability to sort of get each other's vibe from inflection, tone of voice, or even eye contact and knowing when someone might be feeling amorous.
Right.
Okay. But not to worry because there's a new device.
Oh boy.
I'm sure it's being marketed to the younger generations. It's called LoveSync. It's just a pair of buttons and you push one button if you're in the mood for romance. Then you wait to see if your partner presses their button, but it's confidential. So the whole issue, this is hilarious. It's to see if you're in sync. You're both in the mood for love or romance. So then if he or she has pressed her button, yours turns green.
Oh.
So then you know, hey, we're green.
We're
let's
sync.
Go.
So wait, this is an app?
It's called LoveSync. I think it's just literally just buttons.
Just like a big button you put on your dresser
or something?
Right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I guess you have to hide your button so it's not lit up. So I don't know, but I realize.
Let me ask you, what do you think about that?
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it's absurd. Because again, not only does it take away the fun of whether it's the guy or the girl who initiates in a relationship, when you've been in a relationship for a long time, you should both feel comfortable taking that role.
Absolutely.
So it takes kind of the fun and the spontaneity out of it. But you see why else it was designed, not only for people who aren't good communicators, but also for people who are afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, I'm sorry to be mean, but softer generations. Oh, no, I don't want to be rejected. You know, that's part of life, too. Without getting too personal, I'm sure there have been times that you've been like, you know what, I'd like to do this right now. And your wife is like, your beautiful wife, by the way, she's gorgeous. She's like, not feeling it.
Yeah, not
and
tonight.
And you survived, Buck.
Somehow I did. I don't know how. Or it could go the other way around as well. I got a headache tonight, honey. But the answer to your question is no. Hell no. No app, no button that reads this is secret button with lights is going in my house at all. I married somebody that I really can joke with and get along with. And with the invasion of smartphones into everyone's homes and Google and Alexa, you just have to be smart about it and you have to set everything down. Hey, come home from work, finish up those emails, check Instagram, Facebook, whatever, and then put it down and look at the person you're spending time with in the eye and say hello.
Do you guys have phones at dinner? What's your rule on that?
Yeah.
Kind of as needed.
Yeah, life is kind of crazy right now. So unfortunately, there's a lot of iPads and phones playing cartoons to keep the young ones still. This is so bad. We set up a little mini table and chair in front of the flat screen TV in the living room.
Right.
And it, you know, sometimes we'll put them there.
You know, the flat screen TV, there's something though. If you put them in front of a TV, him or her, you can still have a conversation with your child. And they'll still engage with you.
That's it.
If you hand them a device, I notice when I give my daughter my
zombies.
Phone. Oh, my gosh.
Done.
It's out of control.
You're like waving your hand in front of their face.
Yes.
Hello.
And then you have to wrestle it away from them.
Yeah.
So that's no fun. So I've actually recently put a ban because I didn't do it that much with her. After she was 18 months, I started letting her look at my device a little bit more. Like looking at pictures or Baby Shark and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I just notice when she does it, she gets crazed.
Oh, man.
So I don't think TVs are anywhere near as bad as them having these devices in their hands. Because if you think about it, even adults are this way. It's like you can punch around. So you're controlling the entertainment, which is different. It's almost like a video game, even though it's not a video game for the kids. Because they're realizing, oh, wow, cause and effect, which I guess on some hand might be good. But they're pressing this button. They're getting this. Oh, now they're controlling it. Whereas television, they know they have to stop and just enjoy the show that they see.
It is crazy what's happening right now. And as parents, I mean, this has never happened before. I mean, we're all having to deal with it. I saw my son the other day. He had my phone and he was watching, I think, Peppa Pig.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a text message. And he was sitting next to me holding my phone. And before I could see the text message, he knew how to dismiss by swiping the message away on the screen so it didn't interrupt his show. That's when you know.
I know. Because they have no fear of pressing all the buttons. Nope. We still grew up at a time where, hey, if you press something, the phone might explode.
Yes.
Or something really bad could happen or delete your most important files ever. But they don't have that fear.
They don't know. They're like, button, what's that? I'll push it. Who cares?
I'm glad you brought up Peppa Pig because I got to get your take on this. There are some parents online who are mad because, have you heard this?
Because, I have.
Yeah, oh, you have? Okay.
I heard it just a few minutes ago this morning.
Okay. So Peppa Pig is causing kids to have British accents.
Yeah.
And not causing, but some of the parents are hearing this sort of British accent, tomato, zebra, because of their children watching Peppa Pig. Well, I would say this, first of all, how much Peppa Pig are they watching? That they're hearing more of Peppa Pig than they are of their parents, and they speak with a British accent.
A lot in my house.
Is your baby British?
He is now on a few words. I didn't even notice it.
Now you do.
I swear, I didn't notice it, and I was hit with it this morning when someone in the building told me what you're saying right now is that kids are picking up a British accent.
It's getting around there. Yes, the word
is out. And I realized, okay, does my kid have a British accent? I realized, and I can hear him saying tomatoes, and I thought it was a funny joke in our house. But seriously, like right now it's hitting me. Oh my goodness. He's picking up a British accent.
It's no big deal.
No, it's
I
cool.
think he sounds sophisticated.
Yeah.
So I realize my daughter does have a little bit of a British accent or what can be construed as one. So maybe this is what the parents are dealing with because she doesn't say her R's really well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'm a big go.
Yeah.
I'm a big go. You know, it's no, she just can't say her R's. So that's just crazy. So have you, I need your help, Buck, because you are a year and a half ahead of me.
All right.
And I know that you're going through the potty training.
Oh my goodness. When you said you wanted to talk about some potty training, I smiled at you and I walked away and I almost cried. It has been a mission. And I have a boy, so I know you have a girl, and I don't, there are differences for sure. And let me just say, going number one, like a champ, like a champ. There was one thing that happened.
Seems like for boys, it would almost be like a fun thing for them.
It is. It is. I taught him how to go outside on trees. He wants to do that every day.
And don't they have, I don't know if you have these, but I feel like one of my friends who has a boy said that they have like rings that you can put in the toilet that they can aim at.
They do. We didn't go that route, but they do.
Okay. See, so it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to touch anything in the toilet or anything.
That's a good point. We would think about the cleanliness of that.
We would go to like bush gardens or restaurants, and my son is just tall enough to stand and pee. But when he would pee, his thing would touch the rim of the toilet, and it's at every toilet.
Oh, no.
And so I would tell him, I would say, look, don't let it touch germs, germs. That went on for like 4 months. And then finally, about a week ago, we were at a brewery. I know. I take my son to a brewery. It's a family friendly brewery. So don't give me any hate. No. Lots of kids there. And he went pee. And after he was done, he didn't let it drop. And he looked up at me and he smiled and he goes, "I didn't let it drop, Daddy." And I was like, "Oh, so smart. Yes, thank you."
So he's making progress in the number one department.
Number one.
The number two department is a whole nother scenario.
The number two is a mess. So he, at some point, this is really gross. At some point, he got constipated.
You can't not have a conversation about potty training and not have it get gross. The weird thing is, the diaper changing isn't as gross. It is when it gets to potty training that things get even grosser. But go ahead. Okay.
I agree. At some point, he got constipated when he was little. Okay, maybe too much milk. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He loved milk for a long time. And that one time he had to go number two and he had severe constipation.
Aww,
I mean probably a week and a half of no action until it finally came. And when it came, I mean it brought tears to his eyes and mine because it just hurt him so bad. So even though after that moment he was okay, he's got this fear of going number two, that pain will come back again.
Oh, no.
So even when he can go, he holds it in fear that it will be bad. So we deal with fear of going number two more than what it actually is. And I will say that we are still working now. And this ties into what we were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. Something we do now is what our doctor told us is 30 minutes a day, sit on the toilet on your butt and give him the iPad, let him watch his Peppa Pig, and as long as he's sitting there and somewhat trying.
Wow. Okay, so you have these scheduled times for him to just make an attempt.
Yeah, once a day, usually when we both get home from work, somebody's in the kitchen cooking, the other person is in the bathroom on their phone while my son Jackson is on the potty with his iPad, and it's about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of routine now.
Yeah.
After about a month and a half, you know what happened?
What?
He got over the fear, and he is going now. As long as he gets his iPad, he sits on there, and it works.
Oh, my gosh. 30
minutes
good for
is
him.
Down to 5 minutes now, and it works.
Aw.
Couldn't believe it.
That's amazing. Yeah. And he's got a nice routine.
Nice routine. Now, are you guys having any trouble?
Well, she'll be two in April. So, but I'm starting to get all those parenting magazine things online, and all of a sudden I'm getting all these potty training basics. It's time to start potty training. Got to start thinking about it now. And then other people tell me, I've had some friends who say, I potty trained my kids when they were 8 months old.
Yeah,
sure you did.
I hear about that.
Right. I just put them in pants and let them feel what it was like to feel. But, but I don't think you should start that early because their bladders are still little. So they're still going to have accidents in the middle of the night
for a
while. So you don't put undue pressure on them. But my daughter just has two things working against us. Number one, she's very, very stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
So trying a new thing like sitting on the toilet is not out. Why is she going to do that? So she's just stubborn. She doesn't want to do it. And then because we've tried to get her to do it. And the other thing is, she's not one of those kids who minds poop in her pants. I mean, she'll tell you when she's gone.
Yeah.
She'll be very proud to say that she did it. But And you can always tell because she goes into the to a corner and like puts her hand up against the wall. And, like,
the stretch out move.
Yep. So funny. And then, so you know when she did it, but she doesn't mind walking around like that. I mean,
really?
Whereas some babies can't stand the feeling. I mean, from the time that they're little babies, can't stand a dirty diaper.
Right.
She's never been that way. So those are the two things I've got working against me. The thing that I have working in our favor is she is pretty quick to catch on to things. So we know we have to kind of manipulate her and tell her about her other friends who are doing that.
Right.
And say, oh, Alex went on the big girl potty today. Then she starts to want to do it. And, you know, do you know baby JoJo and Albie, Elmo's friends? Do you know any of them?
Okay. I know Elmo, and I know he has a lot of friends.
Okay, well, these are two of Elmo's friends. Hey, Albie goes on the potty. You know, you don't want to be like baby JoJo.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on. So it's a challenge.
Yeah, we downloaded a Daniel the Tiger episode, and it was all about going potty with little sing-alongs and everything. And that helped, but nothing helped more than... in his school, which is, he's not in VPK yet, but he's in like a preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the playground and classrooms, he's got about 15 kids in there with him. And nothing helped like seeing his friends go on the potty.
Yes.
And he immediately wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm. The influence of peer pressure.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
That's what we really have to worry about, right? Not so much you, because boys are easier, but I'm scared to death of being a mother to a teenager. So I'm just going to keep doing our parenting podcast and talking about all these fun, comical childhood moments, because the teenage years, I might not be doing this anymore.